We're inside Vancouver Opera, and my name is Ashley Daniel Foote. Today we're talking with baritone extraordinaire Greg Dahl. Audiences from Vancouver will remember him last season as the lead role in The Flying Dutchman. And he's back in Vancouver for another title role as Don Pasquale, opening on February 10th at the Queen Elizabeth Theatre, and I had the honor to pull him from rehearsal for a few minutes to talk a little bit about his craft. Greg, you have sung pretty much everything. When I look at the list of repertoire that you've performed all over Canada, all over the place, did you know when you were young that this was the trajectory?
No, I was a school teacher. I started out as a school teacher.
Nobody, what were you teaching?
Music. I come from a very musical home. And when I was 16, I ended up seeing the movie Amadeus. And then I really got inspired with classical music.
Movie's amazing.
I wanted to do this. And I ended up, I was a choral conductor first. I went
really?
To this college and did choral conducting. And then I sort of sang, but I was never the lead and never was the guy. I really wanted to be an actor, I think, more than anything.
Oh.
And then I started teaching. And my first year, I had a contract to start a choral program in a kind of a vocational high school in Winnipeg. And I got laid off after 4 months, not because
really?
I was bad, but because they ran out of money and it was the numbers game. I was the last guy.
But you were the first one out.
Yeah, first one out. Mel Braun, who was my teacher at the time at University of Manitoba, got a call from John Hess. He said, we need a baritone out in Banff for this program. And I said, okay, I'll try this. And I went back for the summer program at Mary Morrison. And I said, you know, I was an older guy. I was like 28 already. I think I went to opera school at the age of 28 or 29.
So you were one of the oldest people there then, right?
Close to one of the oldest people, yeah.
And you went, where did you go?
I got into University of Toronto Opera School with Pomeroy. Pomeroy was the youngest guy there. I was the oldest guy there.
Oh my goodness. Times. And then you worked together many times?
Many times since.
We're talking about Tenor David Pomeroy.
David. Hi, David. And I went to opera school for 2 years. And then after 4 months being out of opera school, I got into the ensemble here in Vancouver.
The Young Artists?
Yeah, the Young Artists program.
Really?
My first real kind of professional opera gig was here. I was hired to do Capulet in Romeo and Juliet. And I shouldn't have been Capulet for first role. So I was Gregorio suddenly.
It was a lot.
So I became Gregorio and learned it in 3 days and was fencing.
You were having fun though, I'm guessing.
Of course. I mean, yeah.
Terror.
I mean, when you don't know your music, it's never fun.
No.
But I knew my music by the end. But
you were in the deep water.
Gregorio
though,
sure. was much more into my zone at that moment. And he had a lot less to do than Don Pasquale does, let me tell you.
From Gregorio to Don Pasquale,
yes.
which you are hard at work on. We just pulled you out of rehearsal.
Mm-hmm.
What is going on down there? What are you doing there? Tell us a little bit about the role and your preparation.
Oh, my preparation. Well, text. I mean, 2,800 words, if I can say that again. I have just such a great team. I have to say, Jacques Lacombe is maestro and Renaud Doucette as the director. When you have the marriage of the singer and the director and the maestro all doing in the same direction, it works. But when somebody's like, when you're fighting one of them, it never works.
No.
And I'm not one to be a fighter with these people because I know my job is really, it's much easier when we all get along. It's playing in the sandbox. So don't throw sand.
That's important advice in
totally
general for
important.
Life, I would say, right?
Yeah, life and for every singer, no matter where you are in your stage of development, you have to, just because I'm older doesn't mean I can't. I play well in the sandbox. In fact, I find it's more important for me to be more collegial, to be a better colleague, because as I was told once, when you're playing the lead role, you want everybody else to feel like they're way more important than you.
Wow.
And that's the key, because that elevates the whole show, right? When you get everybody going in the same direction. And that's why downstairs we got great leaders leading this charge, as it were.
So there's a responsibility to have the lead. It's not just
coming
in. It's far beyond what you're also singing and performing. It's setting the tone in so many ways.
I think so. I think it's important for you to really set the tone. And it's really important for us to get along as a team. You know, it's funny. I'm married to a social worker. My wife's a partner, a social worker. And it's something called group work. Okay?
Yeah.
She said, like, we form, we storm, we norm, we perform, and then we adjourn.
It's the same thing.
It's the same thing. We get together as a group. I'm never in, even if I do a remount of some production, I've never been in exactly the same cast ever.
Ever.
You like, this is it. This moment in time, we're doing this. This is the cast. This is the people. This is the maestro, the director, the direttore, and then we go from there, right? And so it's very important for everybody in this business to kind of, I think, get along. I know it sounds like we've got big egos in the room, but
it's not true. It's a rumor.
It's
isn't
not
it?
Really yeah. that true. No. Big heads.
It doesn't work.
Big mouths.
Well, in your case, yes.
Yeah, big mouth. Yeah, when I was born, the doctor said, 10 fingers, 10 toes, big mouth.
Well, there you go.
That's right on my chart.
That should be also on your bio.
It was destiny.
Website. Okay, talk about the idea of destiny as a singer. Do you think that's a thing?
Yes and no. I mean, it's you start out as a singer and you have all these grandiose ideas of where you're going to go. And there's a lot of luck involved too. And along the way, and
there really is.
Yeah. Being in the right place at the right time, certain people. And it's so, and there's so much that's out of your control.
It's so true. What do you, what? Tell us.
Well, I don't know what they're doing next year. And if they're not doing something that I'm good at singing, then I'm not going to have work. Right.
And that's the challenge for across this industry, right?
That's right.
Is there some stress and anxiety that comes with that?
Yes. You talk to
you've
my
got
family
bills to pay and things to
yes and I've started last 5 years teaching a little bit on the side, but that's not my main income. My main income is still these two little cords in my throat.
Those two little cords inside your throat, how do you keep them safe?
I just act like they're a normal guy.
Do you think
no mystery. I'm actually the worst for that.
Vocal
I'm,
rest
I'm washing wear singer. I just no
Same.
no you wouldn't, you don't want to know what I do in my private life. We'll just keep it that, okay? Yeah. No, it's, I mean, you look, in the end, I have to get sleep. Sleep is the most important thing
okay.
for me. Okay. Rest, mentally rested, you know, physically rested, especially for a role like this, because there's a lot to do in the evening and it can get very tiring. For me, because I come with a lot of energy already. The Energizer Bunny. Brian Dietrich said, working with Greg Dahl is like working with the energy of a box of kittens.
Talking of kittens, we've got lots on this show.
That's right. That's right. We do.
There's, I think that I was talking to the prop master, 123 cats.
Excellent.
In various forms.
This is the type of story that you can pretty much interpolate your ideas onto it of what we're going to set it. We're going to set it. Originally, it's set in Rome, but we've updated it to 1960s.
Wow.
Rome, La Dolce Vita.
Fellini.
Fellini, yeah. That whole kind of feeling, you know. And I'm a man of 7 years. I'm on in life and I have an infatuation with cats.
Cats. Not the musical by Andrew Lloyd.
No, not the musical by Andrew Lloyd Webber. But the thing is, I'm allergic to cats, which is kind of funny because I personally am also allergic
you
to
are?
Cats. Yes, I am.
Oh, dear.
Oh, yes.
Okay.
So basically, on the stage, you're going to see these green-colored cats.
Yeah,
which are cats from in my imagination.
Oh, my goodness.
They're not real. And then there's all these porcelain cats, which I collect. I'm a collector.
There's so many.
And they're precious to me. And he's got a bit of an infatuation with Catwoman, of course, then.
Of course.
Of course, Catwoman. And
you have to see what happens next.
We have to see what we won't have a spoiler alert either.
I'm going to ask you, we've never done this before, but you're here. It's an opera podcast. How on earth do you do this thing? Where does it all begin? The sound that you start to make?
Air is everything. It's like my bow. See here, I have a theory. I believe we all know how to sing.
I agree.
Everyone go, nah, 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 right? We all do that. But have you ever heard anybody sing happy birthday? Well, that's going through.
Well, that's another question.
That's another question because that's going through another passaggio, as it were. Because this goes one, two, three, four. And in the guitar, you go one, two, three, four. And then you got to switch either strings or you switch your go to the next string, or you got to move your hand up, right? Same thing with the voice. You got these passageways and then it goes into a new passage and then another section. So for me, it's just
what does that sound like?
Bye, 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 bye. You know, sort of like.
Why does it sound so different when I do it?
I know. You know, and just keep, keeping the larynx down. If you count backwards from 10, you go, say I count backwards from 10.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Your voice went down in pitch, as everyone's does, and you're running out of air. And you put your larynx down.
Yes.
And when you speak, you go up. And then you go down. You got to keep it down.
Keep it down.
Yeah, that's a space. Yeah. All right.
The shiny floor. You could polish a floor with that.
I do. I try to. I always tell my kids, keep it in your shoes.
You mentioned that you also teach. What does that mean in terms of your practice and how that works?
They're saving my career, because in order to teach, you have to know what you're doing and how to. I just thought, what am I going to do? I have to explain what I'm doing, and
you may have had some experience.
Yes, and I feel I have a better technique now, because from telling others what to do, and it's been a really eye-opening and wonderful experience doing that. And I really like teaching, and it's a fun, enjoyable. I mean, if you could say, would you rather do teach or sing, I'd probably say sing now. But
right, of course.
But then again, in the end, you can be 75 and go, sing that again.
Do you think there's a responsibility to pass along some of this experience?
Look, there's not a lot of us around these that do this work.
It's like, a rare bird,
right? So I gather knowledge from people ahead of me, and it's sort of you impart knowledge, and that's sort of the way it works. Although in so many ways, I look at these young singers, and I'm just like them.
I think so too.
I got a knapsack that's full of a score that I need to learn.
Yeah.
And I got notes from a maestro that I just got today that I got to fix.
Like, oh,
there's
goodness.
No difference. And I'm always like, where's my next gig? It doesn't change as you age. It just, you know, you just walk slower.
Well, when I'm looking at the list of all of these operas, and I'm just struck by the sheer volume of heavy repertoire here. These are the biggest guns of all, mm-hmm. you know, the Toscas, the Carmens, the Fidelios, the Rigolettos. Mm-hmm. You are definitely swimming in the deepest of waters.
That's right. Big boy pants.
Do you ever have a moment when you're like, this is so much. How will I maintain this pace?
If you know what you're doing and you're singing well, it can work. And and the funny thing is, I was kind of blessed with a bigger voice, so-called.
You don't say.
But it took me a while to grow into it. Like, only now do I feel at this age, oh, okay, that makes sense. And but when I was 20, it was like, oh, no.
It felt incongruous.
Yeah, it didn't work the way I wanted it to. It was like, then I was a lamp without a lampshade. Let's just put it that way.
That's really interesting.
It was more, I needed to hone it and find it. But then again, singing these roles teaches you how to sing. It's interesting because you have to learn how to negotiate what the composer's written. And if it's a composer like Verdi, then it's beautifully written. He understood the voice.
There is a sound that is, I would say, everyone who I talk to about you say, you got to ask him about the sound.
I think it was Doddington back in the day was doing this in rehearsal. I don't know, making this sound. It's a bit of a... And then Richard Marcheson was doing it for a while. And then I just started doing it back in, I don't know why. And then when these cell phones came out, okay, and you started texting people like smiley faces.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right? Remember that?
Yeah, back of course, of course.
And I was thinking to myself, okay, these phones and this texting, it's always embarrassing. You send a text and you don't really know if you're sending it to the right number at the beginning, right?
No.
What you're saying. So yeah, so I came up with this symbol, semicolon backslash. It's sort of like when we used to use our walkie talkies and we say over.
Over.
So now when I text you as a friend, I go, I'll just send you. And a friend of mine said, Pomakov said, what does vert mean? And I said, vert means vert. And you see, he got it. Pomakov is singing at the Met, okay? He's at the Met, he's singing Monterone, and he's getting pulled up by these, the final opera, and he's been on, and he hasn't really chatted with these fellas next to him. I mean, he's chatted with them. So it's the last show, and he's about to get drawn up to the stage.
It's the crew, right? They're
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he's got these extras beside him, and Pomakov on one show, I think last show or something, he went, the fella to the right of him said, you know Greg Dahl?
Yeah.
Yes.
Your reputation precedes you.
That's right.
The very last question, I love to ask this. What is the most insane thing that has gone wrong in a performance?
Oh, I don't know, gone wrong, but you know, okay, last time I sang the Barbe Seville, and there was a part that was moving, and I had sung the aria. I was at this one section, and it was a big patter section, and I was feeling a little bit, probably, maybe a little cocky. I was getting a little... Anyways, let's just put it this way. Before this patter section started, I came in a bar early. That was terrifying because I was lost for a page and a half. And you're up there.
Oh,
going,
my God.
Blah,
that's
blah, blah,
terrifying.
Blah, blah, blah. It was, oh.
Like sheer terror.
Awful. Awful. And
so what helped you in that moment?
Nothing. I just kept going. I nothing helped me. It's, what do you mean help me? I was like, you know, it's a mess. It's a mess. I can't imagine what came out of my mouth. The stage manager at the time, I came off stage and he said, the Italian gibberish police will be here in an hour. And I gotta, you know, it's live. So, I mean, it's funny because when things go wrong, my brain will kind of slow down in time. But if you're watching.
It's like a blip.
You don't really notice
it.
But I mean, I'll go home and go, wow, that was good.
Well, that was amazing. It's always a pleasure to welcome Greg Dahl into the studio, and I'm so glad that he could spare a moment from rehearsals. Make sure you grab your tickets to Don Pasquale from Feb 10th to 18th at the Queen Elizabeth Theater if you haven't already. We have lots more great programming coming up on this season of Inside Vancouver Opera. We're about to get started soon with rehearsals for our Vancouver Opera and Schools collaboration with Pacific Opera Victoria. The Flight of the Hummingbird will be going on tour all across BC, stopping at over 70 schools, so we'll be getting into that. And of course, the big dog, Carmen itself, it's coming. We'll be digging into that in episodes ahead. So as always, thanks to our trusty producer, Mac McGilvery, and I'll see you at the opera.